This is America's Sports Talk Show, Sports Byline USA. Here's Ron Barr.
It's been a while since I've had a chance to have a conversation with somebody that I respect, Meadowlark Lemon, the Clown Prince of Basketball, in the Basketball Hall of Fame, of course, many years with the Harlem Globetrotters. But he has a wonderful book out that I hope you'll check out. It's called Trust Your Next Shot, A Guide to a Life of Joy. You know, when you think about the long career that you have had and all that you've done in basketball, the places that you've visited, what is it that impresses Meadowlark Lemon the most about what you've done?
People. People are wonderful. And they come after me every day, you know, when I'm in the streets going to the store. The people in the neighborhood where I live, you know, they respect my privacy. But the people in the groceries, the supermarkets, and when I hit the gym, you know, they just come up to me and thank me for the joy that we've given them over the years. You know, and most of the presidents that have been in office, they've called us the ambassadors of goodwill in short pants, which was a pretty good thing. And I think, you know, with you going over to the troops and everything, I think you have the same impact that we have, and that is bringing joy to those who are out in harm's way.
What is it that you have found over the many years of playing basketball, the way you played basketball, that really makes it the universal vehicle for people?
Well, it's just the laughter. Everyone wants to laugh. Man. Everybody needs to laugh. You know, and when we do something funny on the basketball court, people just roll out of their seats. You know, there was a game we played in Columbus, Ohio years ago, and we played at the old fairgrounds, and we didn't have any standing room. And I don't know how this man got these two chairs right in between the baskets, and because the basket was sitting in a funny position, and this little kid was laughing. He's laughing. You could hear him all over the place. And a ball got missed the ball, I guess. And it rolled down at his feet. And I picked it up. I said, I'm going to have some fun with this kid. And I threw the ball at him, and it hit him in the chest. And I said, boy, can't you catch it? And I picked it up, and I threw it to him again. It hit him in the chest again. And the gentleman that was with him, he said, Meadowlark, I'm his uncle, and I brought him here. I'm telling him everything you're doing because he can't see a thing. And I said, man, that is something. You know, we're making a blind kid laugh. That's really, really something. And these are the things that make me happy when I see a young child who is full of joy.
Let's go back to the early years of Meadowlark Lemon. You grew up in North Carolina. It was a difficult life, but yet it is one that fashioned you into the man that you ultimately became. Take me back to what the early years were like for Meadowlark Lemon, because you talk about it in the book.
Yes. You know, I spent a lot of time with my aunt and my grandmother and my dad. He was in and out. My mom, you know, they were separated, and she lived in New York, and I love New York. But it gets cold there, and it don't get quite as cold in North Carolina. So I spent most of the time in North Carolina, and when it got a little warmer, but I'd go up north. But I had a childhood that that's better than most. You know, my family didn't have a lot of money. In fact, we didn't have any money. But you know, they would go fishing every day. And they would bring back always a good catch. And they grew their own chickens and everything else was really, really inexpensive. So we ate real well. Other than that, you know, we didn't know anything about anything else. we didn't have television. Not too many people had television then. And we would go to the movie house every weekend. And we would get the news from last week, and I saw these young men from Chicago on a basketball court. And that's when I got my vision. It didn't come from television, but my vision came from a movie house. I saw the Harlem Globetrotters, and something happened on the inside of me. There were a lot of kids in the movie house that day, but none of them saw what I saw. I guess they all saw them with their spirit, with their natural eyes, and I saw them with my spiritual eyes, which comes from within. And I ran home that day to learn how to play basketball. When I got home, I found out I had no place to play. So I made my own basket out of a coat hanger and an old onion sack. My first basketball was a Carnation milk can. So now we can't put down small beginnings, because with the coat hanger, the onion sack, and a Carnation milk can, we've carried basketball all over the world.
Those were the early years, of course. But tell me about the path that ultimately led to you being one of the Harlem Globetrotters in 1955.
Oh, gosh. There were so many things happened there. You know, there's a man by the name of Marcus Haynes, I guess. Marcus is the greatest dribbler, possibly point guard of all time. He did it all. And Marcus was just, he was so quick. He was so fast. It looked like he wasn't running. It looked like he was gliding across the floor. And he was told to take a look at me. And you got to realize I'm coming from a small community. And in my high school, the most we ever had to look at us in a game was about 500 people. Well, he took a look at me and told me, gave me a uniform and said, let me see what you got. In Raleigh, North Carolina, with 15,000 people. You know, I was scared, but I knew that I had to, I was prepared to do what I had to do. And that started it all off. But then I went into the armed forces for 2 years. And then when I came out, there was a job waiting for me with the Globetrotters. And that's when I took off. Things just started happening for me. And I've been a blessed person all of my life because of the vision that I had when I was 11 years old in the Ritz Theater.
Was the Harlem Globetrotters the only path for black basketball players at that time? Because the NBA was, you know, that wasn't in a path necessarily at that time for the black ball player?
Well, actually, when I first saw them, that was the beginning of the NBA. And the Globetrotters had been around for a few years. But when I got on the team in 55, there was only about five black players in the NBA at the time. Bill Russell had just gotten there, and he was basically taking over everything then because he was so good, so much better than most of us, that he just took over the game himself. That's when ball players started coming into the NBA. He had a young man who played with me against me in high school by the name of Sam Jones. And Bill Russell, he has 10 fingers, but he has 11 championship rings. Sam Jones was with him, so Sam has 10 championship rings. So this was the beginning of a lot of things for the black ball players coming into the NBA.
How did the choreography of the way the Globies played come about? Because they were serious ball players, but yet when they went and visited, did they understand that this is the way they had to play because of the social times that they were playing in?
I don't think so. I think that there were so many things happened. Most of the Globetrotters during that time were also real great baseball players. And in fact, Ted Strong, who played, he was one of the greatest Globetrotters of all time, they sought him out before they sought Jackie Robinson out because he was so good. But at the time when they were playing up in the Dakotas, and when the season ended, he said that he wanted to stay up there for a while, and he did, and they couldn't find him. But all of the guys, Goose Tatum, they were really great baseball players, Sam Wheeler, all of those guys. This was their first sport. And basketball, when they started playing basketball, well, certain things started happening. You know, there was only five of them. And I think I was told when they were playing against local teams all over the country, well, not all over the country, because they call them the Harlem to associate with the borough of Harlem, New York, because most black people lived in Harlem. Globetrotters, because they hoped to travel throughout the state of Illinois. So they were just playing basketball against anybody in the state of Illinois, and that's the way basically happened. They would get tired, and one guy would fall down on the floor and start dribbling while everybody else rests. And, you know, they pass the ball behind their back. And that's where it all started. And when I came along, I just kind of pushed it up a notch. And I did a few more things with passing the ball between my legs, behind my back, pinning the ball against people's chests and shooting it between their legs and stuff like that.
Meadowlark Lemon has joined us, the Clown Prince of Basketball, Hall of Famer with the Harlem Globetrotters. And by the way, the name of his book is called Trust Your Next Shot, A Guide to a Life of Joy. You can find it at Amazon.com and bookstores as well. We'll continue talking with him as we move across the country and around the world. We've got you on Sports Byline.